This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
Ashe.
Ashe.
We'll pour to the creative spirit, the great Ashe out of which we all emerge. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
We pour to that creative spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science. Ashe.
Ashe. Ashe.
We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilluk, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open air their pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who, finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Puerto Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, "Oh my God," or "Madre de Dios," who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand and who sit here buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with Adinkra symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions. The children of those who could not be killed, we pour Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents. Those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, "Stop! No more! We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths." We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names.
Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
We pour to the names that we hold collectively. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study. Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X, John
Henry Clark, John Dr. Jackson,
Muhammad.
Jacob Carruthers. And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name. Ashe.
Ashe.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Thank you. see the people. No, I got the Jones for my own Rashida. When you put me on with the Nagarita, she stay on my dome, she gone.
Listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Everybody, happy Saturday. Happy Saturday. Hey, Dr. Rogers. Hello, Josh Germain. Hello, local listeners in the world. Thank you for being here with us. You know how we do this every week. Before we get into the discussion, we will be honoring the life of today's ancestral profile, which happens to be Elizabeth Duncan Coombs. Elizabeth Duncan Coombs. She was a gifted teacher and talented political advocate. I chose her today because we have so many strong teachers right now working around the clock providing virtual learning to our young. And not just our young, we have teachers providing all sorts of education online to our young and our adults and everybody. And so today I wanted to just shed some light on those who are working so hard to teach. So Elizabeth Duncan Coombs, there are many examples of talented educators who have also made important contributions to our country's political landscape. This is the case with Elizabeth Duncan Coombs, a special education teacher from North Carolina. Elizabeth Duncan was born June 3rd, 1919 in South Salisbury, North Carolina, the daughter of two educators. She was the youngest of their seven children. Elizabeth was only 4 years old when she was enrolled in elementary school, but she had already mastered the ability to read and write. Young Elizabeth excelled as an elementary school student, even helping her mother with the lessons of illiterate adult learners that her mother was tutoring in reading. I knew then that teaching was for me, she related years later. In 1935, Elizabeth graduated as the salutatorian from Salisbury Segregated Price High School. 3 years later, in 1938, she graduated from Livingstone College with a bachelor's degree in English and elementary education in 1941. In 1941, she earned her master's degree from Atlanta University. She also completed courses from Columbia University, North Carolina College, and the University of Indiana. Elizabeth inaugurated her career as an educator when she accepted a position as a fourth grade teacher in North Carolina. Particularly interested in helping children with disabilities, she became a special education teacher at Price High School in Salisbury, North Carolina. She spent her entire career championing equal rights and better opportunities for African Americans, women, and the working poor. In 1968, this dedicated educator became the first African American president of the National Education Association. In 1969, President Richard Nixon appointed her to be an advisor to the U.S. Secretary of Labor. She also served as the director of the Women's Bureau. At the end of President Nixon's first term, Elizabeth returned to North Carolina to coordinate the nutrition programs for the Department of Human Resources. From 1975 until her retirement in 1982, she served as Assistant State School Superintendent. Elizabeth's many contributions did not go unnoticed. She was given the North Carolina Award for Public Service in 1977 and in 2006. Elizabeth Duncan Elementary School in Salisbury was named in her honor. We want to lift Elizabeth Duncan Kuntz up in spirit and thank her for her contribution. She was a great woman, and I definitely relate to her in several ways. I hope you enjoyed learning about her on today. And so we're going to get right into the discussion for today. I'm excited. Jermaine, what's going on? What's going on?
Hello, everyone. My name is Josh Jermaine, the mystical prophet who always brings hidden truth to light. I am thankful to be here with all our listeners this Saturday to discuss how the feminine energy is lost in the Black community alongside with the patriarchy. As a Black male myself, I can say that I have seen many strengths from the women, and I have seen that she has not been represented. She has not been loved. She has been neglected in many ways. And I think even if it's a conversation based on women, just being a male myself, I think it's important, though, because we have to acknowledge, you know, her strength, her backbone, her structure. She needs support, too. You know, she needs love, too. You know, and she needs to know that, you know, she is the cornerstone of our society, our community, and I think it's so important because I think that sometimes you think about with females, for the most part, they feel like males is always the one that's harming them and hurting them some kind of way. So I think as a male, is a male perspective and having males in on this on a discussion, I think that's a very important way to kind of bridge the community together, though, you know, to make sure that we understand the feminine party and the feminine energy and understand how powerful it truly is.
Mm. I like that. I like the way you're going. You got to tread lightly, brother. I'm trying to tell you. So happy Saturday, everybody. Thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk. I am Miss Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. Today's conversation is focusing on the femininity and its visibility or lack thereof in the Black community. Last week, I posed the question, who is checking for the Black woman? This week, we are still building on that because there are inner workings and pieces that we did not touch on. And so on today, we will address femininity and the ways in which it materializes in the Black community. Because just like Joshua May said, Black women, we are the pillars of the community. We are the pillars of the family. We are the pillars of the workplaces. We are the pillars of the churches. Yet they receive, yet we, not they, because I'm included in this, the hell, we do not receive the respect that we deserve. We are responsible for birthing the baby, rearing the children, and tending to every issue that presents itself with courage, with tact, with patience. Let's honor Black femininity by addressing the strength that is often taken for a weakness. Today, I'm going to let you know. Listen, ladies, today, I'm going to let you know. We are queens and deserve some respect on our names. So we're going to open up the floor with the first question. Is femininity a strength or a weakness? Come on now. Miss Lane, I see you on the line. I see you on the line. And I know you got to touch up on this because, last week I just had to thank you for being so vulnerable and transparent with us. And I think that this subject right here is going to touch bases on that strength or that weakness of being, a woman. And why it is that one would be so guarded at this point. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you answer that question. Miss Lainey.
Is she there?
Miss Lainey here, but I think she might be sitting. So I ain't going to put Miss Lainey business out there, but she got a little baby over there. She's working with the stork system. She's working with the stork system, so she's going to be back in a minute. We'll keep on going with the discussion until she does come back because she's going to share that information with us. So I'll go ahead and start talking about this strength or weakness because, me being the woman that I am, I take on a leadership position in a lot of things. And so leadership is not really a feminine characteristic naturally. And so that comes off with some of what most people would say that masculine energy. And so I think that for me, I would say that femininity is a strength for me because I know when to use it and how to use it. I know that in the workplace, that's not something that I am quite going to use as much. But I do tend to pull on that femininity as a strength in certain situations when I'm with my husband, because that is a whole different, that's a whole different subject. I like to think I'm the leader in this house, but being a natural born leader, I think a lot of women have to learn how to turn that on and turn that off. Okay, because that's when we start to bump heads. That's what I was saying. So for me, it is a strength, but it can only be a strength in certain situations. And I think that with certain men, you can let down their femininity, those vulnerabilities, because you have to feel safe to be your feminine self. You go around here being feminine all the time, which is okay too, because that's part of your identity and who you are. But I know in the Black community, sometimes showing that feminine energy could bite you in the behind, and also is preyed upon. See, men prey upon that feminine energy. And so you as a woman have to be, use some discernment when choosing these men, because let me go ahead and say it, Josh, get ready. Toxic masculinity. Okay. Toxic masculinity preys on the women's femininity. They grab you by the neck and just shake it like a pit bull. Okay. That's what they do. That's what, and they lock on you and then you don't get loose. So that's my take on the femininity, the strength of it all. How have you seen that in women? Because I don't want to talk so much. I do want to go into an even exchange with you, Mr. Jermaine, but I know you're not a woman, so you can't really answer that question that way, right? unless you know something I don't know, are you casting for that two-fong woo or something? Let me know. But if not, have you seen this playing out in your house with other women in your family?
Yeah, exactly. I was just about to say that. I'm like, yeah, just relating to women in my life, though, and looking at how femininity, I can see that it's a strength to the female, but I think it's perceived as a weakness to others. You know, I think females know that they are the pillar of the community. They know that they're cooking, they're cleaning, and keeping the house together. But it's also a weakness, though, because I feel that they do it, it's such a strong suit to them, though, that other people don't realize or don't acknowledge how much work it really takes to do what they do on a daily basis, you know what I'm saying? And I think we don't look at that a lot of times, you know? So I think on my end, I feel like with my mom, my friends, and just in general, I mean, I see that they know they smart, they very quick on their head, you know what I'm saying? They know how to always, you know, multitask, you know, they know how to do all the things to sustain themselves. You know, they sustain themselves so much that they know how to sustain others, you know what I mean, which is a huge strength, you know what I mean. It's just a weakness because that energy might not never be reciprocated, you know, and even if she asks for it at times, she might not be reciprocated. So I think it's a weakness, though, on how she relates to others, because it can be seen as a disappointment, you know. It can seem as, you know, being grief. It can seem as, you know, feeling neglected, feeling abandoned, you know what I'm saying, though, because, you know, you ask somebody to do just a little something for you, though, when you're doing everything for them, you know. So I try my best to be an advocate for Black women, you know, in all my relationships with anybody, because I understand that, you know, a lot more, that toxic masculinity is real, and sometimes we don't want to talk about it because we don't want to hurt our fathers and our parents' feelings. But I mean, it was some things that went down in this household, though, that these women and these children were not feeling protected, you know, and that should fall on, the blood is on the man's hands, you know what I'm saying? Even if you got a majority of them that might do it right, you still got to look at some of these, a lot of these Black families are broken, and we got to address that before we can even move forward. So that's my perspective on it.
Tell it, because you got to think about that when you're looking at the femininity of the woman. Who's there to protect her after she's taken on all of life? I mean, the good and the bad. Men, they go ahead and they may say something back on that toxic masculinity. They may be just venting about their feelings about something they don't like, or, you know, something that's bothering them. Right. But the woman, you know, being her feminine self, she ain't gonna say certain stuff. You know, she's just not gonna do certain stuff, say certain stuff, because a woman understands that once this stuff has been said, that gonna make a person look at you differently. And in being a feminine being, right, we are driven by our emotions. And so if a man is not treating that woman right, she's not going to feel love. She's not going to feel comfortable. She's not going to be turned on by you. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen because this woman does not feel protected. So when we're looking at the femininity, we also looking at a balance. And so I think I had a question I was trying to ask you, but we didn't get the chance to really touch on it in our prior discussion. So I'm going to just ask you now, do you feel like a man has to exist for a woman's femininity to exist?
For me,
like a yin or a yang type of thing.
I think, for me, a great question. I think I think that a man has to resist for feminine to resist. I would say I think a female has to know herself. She has to tap into her own feminine ways as a woman, you know what I'm saying, before she even get a man. Because if she do get the man, though, how is she going to validate who she is as a feminine energy if she can't express that to the man that she's with? You know what I'm saying? That's when you're going to turn to some other toxic stuff, though, where it can turn codependent. You know, it can turn into some other situations, though, where it can lead her to be vulnerable. You know what I mean? But I think the man don't have to exist for femininity for her to exist. You know, I think that's kind of in a way, it's kind of in a myth, though, because it's kind of like they're using the man to feel like she feels validated or she felt to feel protected. You know what I mean? But the thing is, though, like what you said before, females are queens. You know what I'm saying, though? And queens are going to make sure they're going to hold themselves down. I know they probably want a king. But a queen can exist without one, you know what I'm saying, if it have to boil down to it. So, I think that maybe the man can honor it. Maybe she can honor the femininity in the female, you know what I'm saying? But I think overall, though, I think that if she truly want to tap into that feminine side for herself, I think she has to have that balance in herself to understand and master her own masculine energy. So she can master that feminine energy. So no, when somebody gonna come and violate her, though, she ain't gonna let that happen because she know herself.
Come on, because as I'm hearing you say that, I'm just also thinking, you know, let's just define the femininity right mm-hmm. here and right now, because a lot of times when we hear femininity, we thinking about dainty girls, you know, mm-hmm. hair and makeup right. done, and you know, wearing a nice dress and high heels. We thinking about snatched mm-hmm. waists. We thinking about pedicure toes, manicured nails. You know, we're thinking about women who are speaking really soft and have a softness of their attitudes. We're thinking about mm-hmm. women, and please, let's say this, women who are not cursing, things like that, not cursing. And so y'all hear me cuss a lot. And so, y'all probably wonder where my femininity is at sometimes. I'll tell you where it's at if you want to know. But that's something else right there, too. Just, you know, you got to acknowledge that the way your language as well as your body language, we're looking at how you dating. Your boundaries with your dating. And just being upfront and open with your potential mate, right, about what it is or how it is you're going to deal with them. And so that's going to be very, very important. I think femininity comes down to communication a lot of the times when it's an exchange between a partner, right? And so a lot of the times that femininity becomes aware or enters the room, you'll find out if your girlfriend or your wife or whoever is feminine or not when you have an argument. That's what I say. When you have an argument, you'll find out about that femininity energy, because you'll know how she responds to you. A lot of the times in the Black community, I know that a lot of the women, not all of the women, right? Because I'm not speaking for every Black woman when I'm saying what I'm saying. I'm speaking from experiences, not only of my own, but of mine working in the community. And so what I have seen with my own eyes is a lot of masculine energy, because these women are oftentimes broken. These women have not been taught feminine energy. And I would say that that has been a loss of that in our community. And then when we have seen feminine energy, it has been misdirected or misunderstood as feminine energy when we're looking at women in abusive relationships as children growing up. And so though when we're looking at that, we have to just acknowledge and say that there's some work to be done there with communication. Josh, you brought it up earlier and hit the nail on the head with the patriarch of the family, which we talked about. So we said that femininity is lost, so is the patriarch of the family, because there's a balance to be said there. That's why I asked the question earlier. Does masculine energy have to exist for femininity to exist? And I would say, yeah, I would say no. But it does complement feminine energy.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
That's what I would say. It's a tough topic.
I mean, even just coming from just a patriarchal family, I do believe, you know, they always say, like, yeah, the mom and the dad, you know, raise the children. It's just, I think with the patriarchy leaving out the house, though, I think that affected women in another way, too. You know, we always talk about how the father affects the son, you know, of the house, and, you know, and it can probably affect them in the ways when he becomes an adult. But we never really addressed the father leaving and affecting the female, you know what I'm saying, or affecting his daughter, you know, that they eventually become a woman that becomes a mother and a pillar of her family, you know what I'm saying? So I think we never really discussed and have that conversation, though, because most of the time in upbringings and most of Black families, I mean, the Black man is most times not responsible for upbringing that Black daughter in his life other than protecting her and feeding her, you know, and making sure that, you know, she ain't out here, you know, getting pregnant before, you know, she 18, you know what I'm saying? But what about building her up, you know what I'm saying, though, and talking to her, though, you know, as an equal? I think that's what it really is that a lot of females want to be talked to as an equal, and you got a lot of these men that relate in a way where they feel like they have to have their way, they have to dominate, you know, because in their eyes, they feel like that is what a man is. That's what they feel a man is, dominate. Like, if they don't dominate, then what am I doing? You know what I'm saying? It's an ego thing, you know? So
Come on with it.
It's an ego thing that comes with it. And I think sometimes we don't want to address how much that can be harmful to other people. And most of the time, the men don't want to admit it because he got something that's going on in his life, you know? Maybe the women in his life was not really supportive with his mom, you know? So it's like we just got to just address the relationship and understand how much it impacted, you know, especially females in a situation with the patriarch not being there. Because not only is she getting affected by him not being there, but she's getting affected how he's related to her mother. You know what I'm saying, though? Who's going to teach her how to be a woman when she becomes an adult in life, you know? So it's like we're not looking at all the relationships that's really shaping it. And you're right. Sometimes, though, I have noticed with, you know, females in my life that, you know, probably did not have the right males in their life as a father or a mentor, though, they can seem to be a little bit more like they need a man in their life to feel validated, you know, and you can see the difference in other women where they might then have their role model, though, in their life. They gonna be feminine, but they gonna be balanced. But they gonna know that, you know, somebody taught me the game in a way, too, where, you know, I'm not gonna be no sucker either, you know. That don't mean you are, you know, a masculine, feminine energy just because you protect your energy, you know, because if you protect it in a way, you value it, you know, in a feminine energy case, because it's more like a receptive energy, you know what I'm saying? In the masculine energy, that might be a little bit more harmful, but for feminine energy, yeah, that works in that energy, in that favor.
I challenge you women today that are listening to just try some of these things that we're going to be talking about in a little bit when you come into a conflict and you have to utilize your feminine energy. Because what I was going to say to you is feminine energy is a strategy, okay? It is a tool, one of many women should have, okay? Do not always resort to that because that ain't going to always help you. But it definitely can help you in certain situations. Also, while I was listening to you talk, Josh, I was thinking about a conversation that we briefly had last week about Lilith. And I think it'd be pertinent to bring that up because is it based on, were we designed?
Right, you better say it. That's what I'm about to say. I'm like, I think when we sit back at feminine, I think we got to learn and redefine what feminine really is because we think feminine is weak. You know what I'm saying, though? Like what you said earlier. We never really sat down and thought, what is the divine feminine and what does that look like? You know, but yeah, the Lilith story, just to get a little research on it, you know, I'm a little scholar when I'm a little rusty, but I believe that it was a Jewish tradition or a Jewish, you know, scholar basically came up with a story that, you know, Adam and Eve was the first, you know, man, the first children of God. But he also said that before Eve was even created. They said it was another woman that he created with Lilith. You know, eventually it didn't work out because Lilith wasn't the Eve that Adam wanted. You know what I'm saying? Adam wanted to have his own way. You know, he wanted a woman to be his rib. You know, he wanted that woman to be subservient to him, and that's what he wanted. But Lilith kind of was not having that. And I think the reason why we don't want it, and she could be possibly the first original divine feminine, you know. But when we sit there and think about all history where the feminine really is that divine, she don't ignore, you know, in history. It happens all the time. You know what I'm saying? Those most things that has come in history and astrology, anything that we talk about, the female probably was represented and identifying with it before man came and took it. You know what I'm saying? So when you sit back and think about the little story, though, even if we look at it from a mythology, a fictional story, it has some truth to it. You know what I'm saying? Because not only was she was ignored and we just don't even know about her, though, she was demonized and they call her the demon. You know what I'm saying, though?
Mm.
They were saying
come
that,
on
know,
now.
She was casting demons and doing all kind of stuff. So they downcast her like she wasn't even lovable. And the thing was that she wanted an equal relationship with Adam. And Adam just wasn't feeling it. And that's when the next story happened. You know, and I know we got the biblical people on here, though. They can take off on that story, though. That's when you got the Adam and Eve story come up. But before the Adam and Eve, you know, we got to sit back and think, who was Lilith? You know what I'm saying, though? Because Lilith deserved love. You know, even when I hear the story back, and even we talk about a fictional story, just because she didn't give in to what Adam wanted don't mean she was bad. You know what I'm saying? You know, and the thing about
come on
it
now.
Is, though, and even when I sit back and think about it now, even with the, and now I'm thinking about it, even when we said that Eve ate the apple, Lilith probably would not have ate the apple. You know what I'm saying? Because she
Lilith wouldn't have
herself.
Touched that apple.
She
do you hear me?
It.
Lilith wouldn't have.
She wouldn't.
She would have questioned Adam. Adam, what do you mean eat this apple? The hell? Did you just feel what you said? No, I'm not eating no apple. You go over there and
right.
eat that. That's what would have happened.
Yeah.
History
yeah,
would have been rewrote as we know it right now today. Come on. Come on now. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so that's just a.
We got a lot of Liliths at home right now.
We do. We got a lot of Liliths out here that is wounded, that want to be loved like anybody else. You know what I'm saying? That want to be accepted. You know what I'm saying? And I believe the more of the story was, though, that she would kill the babies off like before they were 13 and like 9. It was. It's a mythology story, so I don't want nobody to get scared about mythology and like, oh, you're talking dark magic. No, mythology, I can imagine that. She probably did not technically kill the babies, but I can imagine that that's probably what the time of their innocence. You know what I'm saying, though? And she probably didn't want the innocence to be out there, though, because maybe she seen innocence as being vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? When she allowed herself to kind of say that she wanted to, you know, have the equal likings of Adam. So it's an interesting story. I advise anybody to read about Lilith. I think it's a great story. I think I like to read alternate stuff like that. It's not alternate. It's just prehistoric text. But I think nowadays, though, people can look at that Lilith story in 2020 and look at that like, you know, is it really a masculine energy or is it really just a high feminine energy? You know what I'm saying? It's to the point where it's standing alone.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I just thought, like, whoa, you know, when we had that conversation, like, yeah, you know what? This is the, you know, the difference between being equal and being submissive, you know?
Yeah, like, what is divine feminine? Like, I think people really, I think that's really the argument is that the debate is that people really don't understand how do we define divine feminine, you know what I'm saying? Is divine feminine being defined by men or by women?
It should be defined by women, but you already know how this is going, right? Because this is looking at your sensuality. This is looking at your intuition. This is looking at collaboration. So this is not only just looking at a self. This is self in comparison to others and how I vibe with people. That's my energy. So when we're looking at divine femininity, we're looking at how this woman is carrying herself. You know what I mean? And we could really get into this discussion looking at how things were versus how things are today. Because divine femininity today would be almost reverse because it's being confused with Now, divine femininity is almost divine masculinity, because these women mm-hmm. have been scarred. These women have right. been broken, and these women don't trust. So they say, I'm going to do what this one do. I'm going to get it how this one get it. I don't have to love you. I'm going to just get what I need from you and keep it moving. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's been mm-hmm. about. Hypersexualizing yeah. yourself, because my femininity mm-hmm. Drags you into lusting over me. And so this is now my power. And it's used, and that's why I was saying this femininity has been used as a tool to get what you want. It's no surprise sex sells. And so women are now tapping into that and saying, oh, I can use my femininity to get what I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's deep.
And that's what it's been about. That's what it's been about, using your femininity to get what you want. So how do we define femininity in 2020? You know, how has it changed from other eras to present? What have you seen happening?
I think for me, I would say femininity look like it's more independence in 2020. Man, women get to the point where they feel like they don't need no man. And I mean, ain't nothing really wrong with that. I've never been that guy to be like, oh my God, you need to have a man in your life. Like, nah, like in 2020, I like that women are the breadwinners now. They are on top of their agencies, businesses, you know what I'm saying? They able to, you know, sustain themselves outside of the home and in the home, you know what I'm saying, and have balance, you know what I'm saying? So I think the femininity in 2020, it looks a little bit more different, because you got to think about time, too, you know. In 2020, though, you know, it could be seen, you know, think about Victorian ages and think about other ages before where the eras was really defining how people were seeing it. I think in 2020, we started to see that we need two households to run, you know. Two people need to be working, you know what I'm saying, though? And it's just what it is, you know what I'm saying? As opposed to before, that could have been a luxury, you know what I'm saying, you know, in past eras, you know? But I think, when I look at it now, I think that, I feel like, to cap it off, I would say, it feel like Jhené Aiko, like, I don't need you, but I want you. Because feminine women, I'm now saying, I know myself, and I know who I am. And I'm not going to allow nobody, though, to bring me down like they did before. I'm not going to be rude. I'm going to become a victim. I'm not going to be a victim, but I'm going to be victorious, you know. So I can see that shift a little bit in women for me.
You know what? And it's funny that you brought that up, because as I was reading that question off to you, I was just thinking, like, what has that looked like in my household growing up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And what did I see? How did those women age? What kind of mind did they have mm-hmm. when they got in that, you know, 40, 50-year-old state? How were they thinking? How were they taking on life? You know what I mean? Because these events, in a moment, like, some might not affect us how much, like, it affect us, like, 20 years later. You might think it shouldn't affect you at all.
Right.
But I would say, nah. Sometimes it affects you even more when you become older. And it's funny, because you go through that regret. You know, and I would say that's the stage of, my memory serves me right, and I should know this because I got a test to take. So I'm looking at adulthood, 26 to about 63, 64, up in that area. We have a stage called the generativity and the stagnation. And then anything after that is old age, 65 and older, where folks is having that integrity and despair. And so I'm bringing that up because as people age, the brain changes, and we get these illnesses like Alzheimer's, dementia. And then we have these older people who be grumpy old men, or, you know, you meet older women and you be like, man, she's bitter. What's her problem? This is her problem. This is her problem right here. This discussion, femininity, you know, being locked into yourself, you know, wanting to be your true self versus the self that you present to others, because this is the safe self and the one that you feel people are going to most accept. And so that comes out later in life, because as you get older, you get this IDGAF. So you talking about Gian Aiko, you know, I always mess her name up. So if you ever hear me say your name, girl, maybe I get it right one day. That's what I tell people. I've practiced. But I know Big Sean, you know. And he says, I don't give a know what. Okay? And so that's what I'm talking about. You get that kind of attitude as you become older, and then you start regretting that kind of stuff. It's being down on yourself because you hadn't been who you wanted to be or who you thought you were supposed to be. You know, that's one part of it. And then the second part of it is just looking at femininity environmentally for Black women. I mean, we, like I said earlier, we don't have a place we can be safe. And even in our neighborhoods, even though we out here putting a Black club together in the community, we still looking over our shoulder every 15 seconds, Chicago style, every 15 seconds. And these days, every 5. Because it's just that dangerous out here. So I have to stress to you that we have to walk around with a target on our back. A sister walking down the street or giving you things you're looking good. You know, you just walking and doing what you do. Mm-hmm. He got to say something derogatory to you. You respond, no, thank you. They trying to snatch you up and throw you in a car these days. And now you're going to be trapped. You know what I mean? We have a lot of things that we have to be up against being a feminine Black woman, that we always got to be on guard and like ready, hypervigilant. Because that last one that tried me, I didn't even respond the way I was supposed to. So now I feel like I got to stay ready. You know, femininity is a hard thing for a Black woman. If you really think about it, yeah, you be gentle at home with your kids. You feel like you can get in your home and you safe there. But on the streets, it's another thing. Do you know how tired it is you get from switching codes all day long? Do you understand how tired that is? And they got the nerve to say the Black woman got always angry. She always ready. She's not angry. She's always ready. Well, you guys, we are at the top of the hour. This is Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. And we're going to breathe today on this Black femininity, because we're going to find a place for these women to be safe.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you Black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not one. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a Black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all Black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here.
I hate you all your life. I wanna come over. I wanna come over. No need to waste my time. I wanna come over. I wanna come over, baby. When can we kick it tonight? Can we freely tonight?
Baby, I hate you.
Listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hello, everybody, and we're back. We're going to go over the top of the hour. Top of the hour lineup. Sorry, I had a brain fart, you guys. Time for an Awakening Media lineup today. We're going to go over from Monday to Sunday. So on Mondays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, we have African Perspectives, host Brother Ocean. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Acres of Diamonds, host Brother Jihad Ahmad. 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., we have Black Therapy Central. Black Therapy Central hosts Dr. Mariah Cambone and Sister Nataki Cambone. 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., we have Conversation Reparations, first and third Mondays. Tuesday, we have from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Okay.
We have... Ooh. Okay, we got... 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Black Reality Think Tank, host Dr. William Rogers. Thursdays from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have After 7, host Shani B. Fridays from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Time for an Awakening. Saturdays from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Black Sister Talk, host Lawanda Chambers, host Brother Josh Remain. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have the Elders of Sankofa, host Brother Alfonso. And then Sundays
from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, we have Time for an Awakening. That is our weekly lineup. Please check out the rest of our shows. They are all awesome, very, very interesting, and everybody got something to say, and something to say that's definitely representative of our Black community. And so check us all out. But today, we are going to get back on this divine femininity and carry on just from where we left off, because where we were leaving off saying was the Black woman is just not safe. And so to go back to the idea saying the patriarch of the family is missing, we're basically saying, where are the men? And it's time for you guys to stand up and represent us the way we have represented you all for so long, whether that's Black, white, Asian, Chinese. Come on. What you doing? Where the men at? And how do you plan to show up? Because you've already shown up in abusive ways. Can you understand this from the energy and understand what it takes to create a balance in the household? That is what we're looking for. We're looking for a call to action, because I've already let you know the woman does not feel safe.
I think they're going to come up. They're going to step up.
You thought I was going to come in here and cuddle you. You thought I was coming back after the top of the hour to cuddle you. And, not today. Look, not you in general, but you know, you standing up for these men. So that's, I am going to get on your case now. I am going to get on your case. And say you go back to your people and talk to your people about y'all stuff in this conversation, and how this can create an olive branch, so to say. There needs to be some changes in our community, because the Black woman does not feel safe. Yet she's standing up and fighting for everybody, and we're over here suffering in silence. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not necessarily jumping down your throat, but I'm calling to ask you what is happening in this moment. In this time that we're in, these women, and look at how the young lady got shot in the foot.
She did not call to action.
Absolutely. You know, she did not call to action on that brother.
Yeah.
These are the things. This is in the psyche. This is almost an innate thing of nurturing and mothering and protecting. Those who do not protect us, those who do not think twice about us. Had we been an afterthought, a thing like that wouldn't have happened. That's just an example of one of many of the injustices that are done by our own men. And so there's a call to action on that. So let's hear from some more of our callers and hear what they got to say. Hello, how are you? 334-414, how are you doing today?
Finding yourself. Thank you so very much for taking my call. I'm in motion physically right now, but I wanted to make sure I chimed in, and I'm glad I did. Sister, and to everyone on the phone, good afternoon. You know, this is the kind and type of conversation I would have wished that we would not be on the phone with, because of the fact that, you know, I really do believe that there are some things that women need to do to us as men. And maybe part of that cuddling has to be performed. You know, in this age of COVID, we are 6 feet, stand 6 feet away from each other, which means that we no longer are in that physical contact with each other. And so words aren't enough. Sight isn't enough. I think the other senses also have to play a part, and feeling is so very important as part of this discussion. I really wish that we were in each other's physical midst to be able to reach out and to hold and to just embrace one another, to show the caring. And so this is a very powerful discussion. I'm glad that it's a part two, somewhat from part one of last week. we really need to be taught some things as Black men. And there's some things that we have forgotten. And so it's incumbent upon you as Black women to help us help you in this process, and vice versa. And so as long as we are away from that essence, that sense, that smell, that touch of a woman, and vice versa, the touch of a man, I think we're going to be forever continued lost in this. And so although I'm in motion right now, I'm driving, but I still wanted to chime in anyway. Thank you so very much for taking my call.
Oh, no problem. Anytime, anytime. And I'm glad you said that, because you helping me to segue right into the next thing I was going to be discussing on today. And that's that communication component, because we have to recognize triggers. We have to seriously be able to recognize triggers and how we enter a situation and express what it is we're trying to convey. Because a lot of the times, that same stress, that same hypervigilance carries over in places that it shouldn't. And so the brother was right. As women, we set the tone for how you're going to deal with us. And so when a man says something that you don't like, it's not for you to use masculine energy in a response to that. I think that is the best time to utilize your feminine energy to let him know, you know, I didn't like the way you said that to me. And then let him know how you may have liked him to say that. I know it takes a lot of leg work, and it's a lot quicker to tell him to shut the head, you know, what up, right back. But I think that if we want to be effective in our relationships, it's important for us to recognize opportunities to create a positive change. That would also help to reduce temperament in the home. Men who tend to be boisterous and loud and want to assert themselves, this is the controlling demeanor. And so feminine energy is always going to win in a situation like that. Now, if this is an aggressive person who likes to put his hands on you and things like that, now, that is a situation that is definitely a red flag, and one that you should remove yourself from as soon and quickly as possible. Josh Jermaine, do you have a response to the brother's question?
Oh, I think it was a great question. I think everything was pretty thorough. I mean, I think the only thing about it is, though, you're right, it's something that has been forgotten. I think sometimes, like, I agree with you too, though, that, you know, right, the women got to be able to ask for them things as well, you know. And, you know, and I think sometimes, man, instead of us feeling like we protecting them and loving women, though, how about we ask them type of questions, though, you know. You know, it's okay to have, you know, we got to take away the dominance and the control sometimes, though, and just accept each other and compliment one another. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes that start with just the ask part, because, I mean, on the man's side, what we think protecting, you just said earlier, though, that women don't feel protected. So, but that's, I think the issue is, though, is that men think we are protecting. You know what I'm saying? We think we are doing that, you know what I'm saying? So I think you nailed it on the head, though, with the communication piece and just being able to, you know, express that and have mature conversations, though, despite the triggers, you know what I'm saying, though, and knowing that when you're talking to each other, though, it's not about hurting nobody's feelings, but, you know, we gotta like tap into our own divine masculine and feminine energy in ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We gotta validate ourselves as a whole being before we can learn how to validate someone else. And I think on the women end, though, of course she gotta work on that. But the men, we gotta work on that end too. You know what I'm saying? Though, and tap that in, because I think sometimes femininity don't wanna be talked about because it's very vulnerable. You know what I'm saying, though? You know, you doing something for somebody else, they ain't doing nothing for you, and you still doing it. You know what I mean? That can be hurting. That can be hurtful feelings. You know what I mean? And a lot of times, they can be taken as a weakness. So, no, I think I was good. I think he had a great question. He nailed it on the head. I think your response is, and the piggyback on it, I just think sometimes we just got to just, instead of assume, let's start asking questions, though, and get intention on comprehending what somebody's saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to everyone who has already chimed in, I'm just like that. You all have been right on the money. And I just like to say this. I think a lot of the times when we are having these discussions with partners, we forget the love in it. I think love is probably the farthest thing from your mind when you're a person who has lived in an individualistic society too. I think a lot of the times we're always focused on being right or wrong instead of being effective. And that's kind of the segue off of what I was just saying about that feminine energy and using that as an opportunity to change perspective and really hit them where it hurts too. Because when you hit them like that and you tell them like, hey, babe, you know, is that sure? Are you sure that's the way you wanted to say that? Like, that makes them think like, oh my God, is that how I wanted to say that? Now you're challenging his thoughts. Like, yeah, you know, because when you say that, that kind of made me feel like this. And I was kind of thinking this when you thought that, when you said that too. Do you want me to think about, like, that we don't want it, that you may not want to be with, like, you don't want to be with me? Is that what you're trying to say? Because when you talk to me like that, that's how I'm feeling. And when you communicate that, then that's letting him know, like, this behavior that I'm engaging in is not one that makes her want to engage with me. I mean, that feminine energy also alerts the man, like, hey, sex doesn't happen just at this point of time when you want to have sex. Sex is something that happens in the mind, body, and spirit. This is something that's carried out throughout the day. And so when you're dealing with a person, you have feminine energy to go ahead and execute that as well. And if there's some energy that's keeping you from that, then your body will not allow you to respond because you're not a robot. Mm-hmm. And so that's something too that you can communicate with your partner about, how like my feminine energy and your masculine energy needs to balance. And so this is what I think balance looks like for me. I mean, seriously, communicate those proverbial things, these things that you think are like assumed and understood are not understood because we're having conflict. And so those are also ways to ignite your feminine energy to be a game changer. I mean, seriously, utilize this. These are skills that you can utilize to help not only, and I'm not saying like you're training your partner, right? This isn't CBT in that way, but hey, to those who understand how this works, go ahead and use that skill to your benefit, because it is this one that works. It's one that works. It's one that keeps everybody on the same level. Like if somebody's yelling and you're coming back with feminine energy and you're calm, people are pissed. Why are you so chill? What? No, I'm chill because I'm good. I know who I am. I know whatever you're going to say is not true. Blah, 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 blah. You know, and that's part of being okay with who you are. And so this is kind of making me think of a conversation I was having with one of my girlfriends earlier about self-awareness and self-confidence. And so that's also a big part of femininity, because you need to be aware. Even though you may feel unsafe, you still need to be aware of who you are and where you are in comparison to your environment. And you also need to be okay with yourself. So that's what Ms. Chambers got to say about it. I'm going to reach out to you. Another caller on the line. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that I think sometimes though we don't really think about the realistic situation of when the woman is being feminine towards the man and she can get hurt. You know what I mean? You know, and I think the biggest thing though, why a lot of times I feel that black women don't express how they feel to the man, because she really told the truth about the man that she was with, she know it would hurt his feelings, and she know it'll probably break him. You know what I'm saying though? So she got to know how to honor herself, though, and just know that, you know, she should have to devalue herself, you know, for others. But I understand that sometimes she might not want to express that. So it's like sometimes I feel like if we're going to do this feminine energy type of thing, though, I mean, sometimes I think we got to naturally do it instead of mechanically trying to fall into a role. You know what I'm saying, though? Because the thing with a woman is, though, if a woman really want to be feminine, though, she will be feminine if the man provided space for her to do that. You know what I'm saying? She would do it naturally, probably. You know what I mean? But the problem is we want to force that role. You know what I'm saying, though? Then it turns to a whole nother situation, though, because she probably see, ain't nothing for me to submit to. But that's just my take on that, too. But I like to hear what the caller's saying, though, because I know we've been discussing it. So I'd love to hear what somebody got to say about it to chime in on their discussion.
Okay. No, I think you're hitting it right on the money too. I'm about to check in with Miss Laney and see how she's doing. Hey, Miss Laney, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Great discussion.
Awesome.
You know, femininity is just like a relationship or marriage, what you bring to the table. You get what I'm saying? In order to bring, to receive something, you got to bring something with it. My grandma always told me a long time ago, many, many years ago, she was like, it wasn't always the size of the wave, but the motion of the ocean. Meaning that women can feel feminine towards their mate when they bring something to the table. But if you're not bringing nothing to the table, then why should I get all hot and bothered? And it's not going to go anywhere. So you got to first be in tune with yourself and feel confident within yourself. Then you got to feel confident within the person that you're trying to be feminine with at all times. But if y'all not in tune with each other, then it's just not going to be a good fit for nobody. It's not going to be a win-win situation. So then that's where you have that breakdown in communication. That's where you have that irritability. I don't want to be bothered. And then might be some choice words being thrown around the room because you're irritated. So first and foremost, you have to make sure that you're getting out of it what you're putting into it in order to have that type of interaction with each other. So I ain't going to get on my soapbox too much today, but I just put that out there.
Come on now. There you go, Ms. Lani. Great response, because it's always about a balance, and that's what I'm talking about. These women out here bring that Lilith energy when I say there has to be some equality. I am not standing for this foolishness, because I'm not trying to say men are dumb. I'm not trying to say that men are stupid, but I'm just saying men don't really pay attention to things the way women pay attention to it. That's why there has to be a balance, and there has to be a discussion, and there has to have a woman at the table in these discussions, because that feminine energy is much needed. That feminine energy is absolutely in the beginning of everything and at the end of all being. And until you guys understand that, come on now. Come on now. Let's make sure we go down there and do the right thing on these ballots now. If we got a woman in the mix, we need to be definitely happy about that. I ain't telling what to do now, but I'm just saying. Come on now. Let's be. This is very simple, people. This is very simple.
Because if you know she like, if she put on this Saturday night special dress and expect you to say she look good, doggone it, you better say she look good. Because that's what she get off on. And if you put on them dress socks and them short pants like your uncle in them dress shoes, and you want to say he look good, you know, tell him, man, baby, you handsome. You get what I'm saying?
And rub that one little curl on the middle of his head, baby, because that's all that's left. But you know what? I love you better when the hair is gone. I don't even care. I still see you like I did when we first met, baby. You know that.
That's all
I love you.
About.
I'm trying to tell you, better learn.
Whatever you started with, you have to keep it going. Because if you don't, you lose it.
If you don't, you lose it.
You lose it.
This is so true.
My mama always told me, don't never start nothing that you don't plan on finishing or keeping it up.
You know what? You better tell it. Let me ask you this, Miss Lani. How do you think European culture has influenced how Black women express themselves? Is it productive to be a Black woman themselves or promote the self-hate?
Well, it
kind of
depends. In my opinion, it's a systemic thing. You get what I'm saying? At some point, we were told that, you know, in order to reach this level, we got to act this way. If we want to be heard and not seen, then we got to talk this way. Or if we want to be fitted in with the, you know, the cliques and whatever,
then we got to dress a certain way. We got to live a certain way. We got to drive a certain kind of car. We got to be with a certain type of man. So, and some of us have failed for that instead of being true to themselves. Because I'm not going to be walking around here trying to talk like no European, no Mexican, no Puerto Rican. I'm just going to talk the way I talk. Slang and all, I'm from Mississippi. It don't make my dialect no better than yours. I'm not going to be around here walking with somebody that I know that I'm not even into, but I want to put him on my arm because, you know, this is what the society want to see in order to recognize who I am. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to drive a 50-something thousand-dollar car because this is what is expected of me. No. Give me the little Pinto, as long as it got four wheels on it, the engine's running good, we good. I'm not going to be right here trying to get stuck with a house because my friends and stuff or the people that I hang with got all talk about all these $325,000 houses that they got and one day from being in foreclosure. No, I'm not going to do that. So all of it is systematically designed that way. And some people, you know, they like that lifestyle. They want to be that way because they feel like they were done some injustice growing up, not realizing how your parents have suffered and you know, went without to get you to this point. You don't even recognize the struggles that they went through, how hard it was to get you to this point. So now that you're in a position where, oh, I done forgot where I grew up at, I can do this here. Now I can spend money on this and I can do that. Forget where I came from. You can't appreciate nothing unless you ain't had nothing. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So these women out here that I see them in the store all the time, walking with their white husbands and their white boyfriends, and they looking at me like I want them. No, boo, that's for you. I like my black men.
You getting to the next question, girl. You getting to it. Come on, lady.
Then when they see me getting out my truck, or, yes, I'm driving a 1999 Tahoe. It got four wheels on it, and it drives, honey. It probably got $300,000 on it, but guess what? It's still driving. No, I don't live in no $325,000 house. No, I don't. But it ain't about the house. It's about who you are and what you bring and how you remain to who you are and how where you came from and how you can help somebody else that has been in your shoes or that's going through similar things that you have gone through. You might not be able to sympathize with them, but you can have some empathy and just say, hey, it's going to be a better day because here's a scenario I'm going to give you of what happened in my lifetime. Growing up in a household of being the oldest of five children, my mother worked for the rich white people in the better neighborhood, making $176 every 2 weeks and with five kids. And guess who had to do without? Me, because I'm the oldest, because the young ones needed more than I did. And it was okay because it taught me how to be humble. It taught me how to be patient. It taught me that everything that I have in my life right now, I have to work hard to get it because nobody's going to give it to me.
That's real. That's real.
That's all I can tell you. Facts. Being secure with yourself is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? But when I think about it, though, I think about it, Miss Lane, though. Like, think about it. I think Luana hit it on the head, too, with the femininity, with what happened when the women get older. You know what I'm saying, though? And they have tried this way of trying to do what everybody else wanted to do. Just to see that it did not work. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, how does you think, I asked the question, how do you think femininity affects you know, women, after they do get older and kind of, you know, not immature no more, they know who they are, they can look back. Because, I mean, you know, they say that most time women mature when they get older. Like, you know what I'm saying? Y'all get to y'all levels when y'all get older, where y'all thinking more, alert more effectively, you know what I'm saying? So how do you feel about, after your whole life to where you are at today, how has femininity either made you thrive, or did it make you feel like it was like a weight on you that you couldn't even hold? You know, how did that work out for you?
Listen, I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm going to tell you, I'm 51 years old. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for 51. And it was like a weight lifted off of me, because it's like you searching. It's like you know, you waiting on somebody else to validate who you are instead of validating yourself. So it's not nothing for me to go and put on something. You know, it might be a little bit over my knees. My grandma will probably have a fit, but it's what I wanted to do. And I don't care if nobody don't like it. I don't care if nobody give me a compliment. I know when I put that dress on, or if I put on a pantsuit, I look good to myself. And because I have dealt with so, you know, not that many, but who have not returned what I was looking for in a relationship and what they were looking for in a relationship, because it was kind of, you hit it on the head a minute ago. It was like, you know, when you talked about, Joseph and who the first person was. You know, you start off like being the one, but, you know, I give you 6 months into a relationship, you can find out more things about the person and how long it's going to last. So after those 6 months, you know, you figure out, well, you know, maybe this is not what I want. And then you start showing those different signs. So I kind of can pick up on them within that 6 month period. You know, I give everybody the benefit of the doubt, but, like, no, this not going to work. But now that I'm at peace, like I said last week, I've been single for 9 years. I'm just doing me. And I don't care if don't nobody come say, Tawana, I love you. Or Ms. Laney, I think you're sexy. Ms. Laney, can I take you on a date? Ms. Laney, how about I get your number? You don't got to say nothing to me. I am happy and good with myself, mm-hmm. and I'm at peace. I don't have to worry about, you know, wondering, you know, is this going to last, or maybe if I put this on, maybe it'll look at me a little bit more, or, you know, maybe if I dress this way, maybe I'll get his attention a little bit more, or I wonder what he's thinking, because he don't say too much. Communication is everything with me, so I don't have to worry about all that. That's stressful to carry that around as a woman.
So who you telling? Women take on all the residual stress, and you walking around here can't breathe, can't be who you want to be. You got to switch coats. Oh, well, if I speak up, he's not going to think I'm being ladylike. If I speak up, if I speak my mind, I'm not going to be liked. I'm not going to get this bill paid if I say this is wrong. I'm not around here following up behind no Adam. I'm telling you.
No.
I'm telling you. I'm not doing it. Use your mind.
We are all adults, and we should be able to voice how we feel. We all have feelings. As long as we do it in a respectful and a cordial and polite way. Sometimes it don't come out that way, but, you know, we should be able to voice how we feel. No matter how it sounds or how the next person don't want to hear it, you should be able to express your feelings and not allow others to downplay your feelings.
Exactly. And so that's when a man needs to take on some responsibility and understand just that. because men say things that could cut like a knife to women, and I'll be looking like, I can't believe you would say that to your wife. I can't believe you would say that out of your mouth to anybody, you know. And so those are the times and places where I say this is a childlike issue. Because we have to be mindful at a certain point about how every action has a reaction. Because even before I say certain things, I think like, you know what? When I say this, there's going to be an argument behind this. And I know I have to be prepared going into that. I ain't stupid. I ain't just saying stuff out of my mouth not thinking we're going to have an argument about it. Like, it's going to be an argument. Or it's going to be a disagreement or a conflict or however you want to call it. In our community, anything that ain't the way the woman wants it, it's going to be an argument. Because right. You want it your way. So using that feminine energy to avoid those arguments is what I'm saying.
But you know what I touched on it last week, Ms. Chambers? You know, I explained to you that how important it is for men to have that good relationship with their mothers, women to have that good relationship with their father, because in those instances, when things do happen like that, you can tell when that man has been raised by a woman and he respects his mother. Because he will have some type of empathy about her feelings. He will say, well, you know, help me understand how why are you feeling this way and how can I change that? But men are naturally designed to be disciplinary and hardcore. They can't play that soft role when it comes to women, you know. And when they do, somebody gonna look at him crazy, like, you know, is he really a man or is he something else going on? Not realizing that that side of him comes from his mother, and he's showing some compassion for his mate because of what she's feeling. But he can't always show that because on the outside, people looking like, you know, that ain't, you know, all your cool points gone, not the one to do. You ain't supposed to be doing that.
Hi, can I chime in just for a moment?
Oh, absolutely.
May I chime in? I just wanted to just turn the dial just a couple of notches a little bit. One of the things that's also happening in the 21st century is we're being bombarded with a lot of imagery, imagery that would come from YouTube videos, dance videos, things that put women in a different kind and type of light. Should there be, and the question that I have is, should there be some sort of coming out against these kinds and types of images that literally destroy us as men to some degree or another? I think about C. Dolores Tucker, the sister back in, and she's an ancestor now from out of the Pennsylvania area, who came with a real hardcore outing against gangster rap. And so can that same kind and type of persona be brought to the kinds and types of images that we see today? I mean, you know, I know we have Megan Thee Stallion. I know we have Doja Cat. I know we have all of these images that's out. But is there something that really needs to be said and trying to tell? I know that's their art. I understand that. But some kind of way to get to them to say, hey, look, can you tone it down? Can you change it to something more conducive to us as Black women or something like that or another? Or am I out of line for even bringing it up?
Well, listen, I think that was an awesome question, because I'm going to tell you the truth. There's a lot of sides to that. There's a lot of sides to that. And so the feminist side of me says, did they tell Luke and this bitch to calm down? Did they tell him to calm down? That's what them Black women to say to you. Did they tell them to calm down?
I see.
Tell Cisco to calm down when he had that thong 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 song. Wasn't nobody telling Cisco to calm down when that you see what I'm saying? You weren't telling him to calm down in the '90s.
Yeah.
Nobody was telling them to calm down then. None of these sisters want to take over their divine femininity and they want to stand up and say, I want to show my ass and here's the citizens I got them. Because y'all done set up here and sold me and folded me and holding me and held me down and now I'm finna capitalize off this. Come on now. That's one way to look at that. I would say as a professional seeing this and saying to my little sister, I don't want to see in that crap. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't want to see in that mess. That stuff is going to have her mind all screwed up, you know, and somebody needs to calm down, you know, and that's where that parenting comes in, that discernment and what you're allowing your kids to be able to be exposed to. But trust me, if you're hiding it this way, they're going to get it another way to get friends. So, yes.
Wow.
I do think something needs to be toned down. I do think it needs to be toned down. But you see, nobody was telling Luke to calm down. Nobody was telling Cisco to calm down. Nobody was telling little Kim to calm down. Nobody was telling this stuff has been going on, is what I'm saying. This should have been calmed down, is what I'm saying. If we're going to calm it down, yes, we need to calm it down. But this mess ain't been calmed down so long. That's why they get up in the ante. That's what they're doing up in the ante, and these women is getting involved. They got OnlyFans pages. You understand me? With Trina shaking it. Don't you go get it after this show, y'all, man. But they got all these new things that they're doing. OnlyFans. I had my man come in there in the room last night tell me, I got to start watching this YouTube because they keep showing too much stuff. I said, don't come in here touching me now.
right.
These kind of things, you know what I mean? Because I'm going to bed. It's been a long day. Okay, but this stuff makes us working women have to up the ante because they're being exposed to this mess. And it's like, what? I thought we were going to read a book tonight. No. Because of the YouTube and all of this stuff that's going on and stuff. So I got to agree with you. Somebody needs to calm stuff down because Ms. Chambers got a lot of stuff to do. And I don't want to be doing that all the time.
Right. Thank you.
That's what I got to say about it. Yes. You're welcome. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, man. You know, our kids have been bumping and grinding for a while. And
hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I would like to get off. Is that good, Raheem?
Okay. What a chance.
Yeah. What you say?
Okay. Tom? I say, well, you know, our kids have been bumping and grinding for a while. Us have been trying to, you know, got confession. So, you know, like you say, if they going to tone it down, they need to tone it down across the board. But it's systemically designed that way, too, because music has really took a toll going towards sexuality and sex sales. So that's what they doing.
Y'all a whole trip. Y'all was over there doing the sex machine with James Brown. I ain't hearing this mess with y'all. I ain't even about to let y'all come at us millennials like that. Y'all was in there doing a cold sweat. Y'all, what the hell you talking about? It's only two ways you gonna get a cold sweat. That's for doing some freaky stuff and some drugs, goddammit. Don't y'all even come on this show trying to act like y'all innocent and all that. Y'all pay y'all tithes on Sundays. I do understand. But Miss Wanda is not going for it today. Over here listening to Rick James, Fine Desire. Got some nerves to be talking about this mess. Talking about this mess. Teddy Pendergrass down. Stop playing with me. Stop playing with me. I know what's up. Yeah. Y'all didn't make them babies to nothing. Y'all ain't do it to no damn church music. So we ain't going. No. Yeah, that's what I'm saying now. Super
don't
free. That's what I'm saying.
And Donna Taylor now.
Look, now Miss Lady gonna give us the playlist, the love making playlist. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm saying.
I know you're gonna let us know. That's what I'm talking about right there. I'm like, are you serious? Come on, y'all is not finna come at me with that mess like I ain't been listening to really got a hold on me. Like I ain't around on a Friday night with the slave game and seeing somebody over there grinding on something. Come on now. Y'all better stop playing. Y'all better stop playing on this Saturday. I got to let you know.
We see
Yeah, she's gone.
Yeah, you know.
I ain't mad at her though. Cause
y'all come on here trying to cut it out, trying to act like we holier than thou. Like y'all were bumping and grinding. How you think we got here? Come on now.
Well, you know, that's a different topic for next week.
But
I would say that even on the other part he was saying, I think that one good part he was saying though was that the perception is different. Like the perception can be misleading. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes though, think about like a Cardi B situation, right? Like Cardi B, she said that she said everything you said. Like if I wasn't gonna rap about my private part and talk about what I was talking about, I would not be popular. You know, just like Ms. Laney said, though, sex is going to sell. But you got to look at it, I think, from a male point of view, is that sometimes as males, we want these chicks to look like that video vixen, but we don't want her to have that freedom that she's going to go find somebody else. Just like an offset.
But guess what?
You know what I'm saying? So.
Guess what? That's just a man being a man, because it don't work like that. It just does not work like that. I got to let you know that. I have a hard time walking up out this house with sweatpants on and a t-shirt. Let me put on the dress and some heels. We got the 53rd degree up in here, and I ain't been next to no heat or nothing. Baby, where you going? What you doing? What you doing? You know, understand me. Equality has no place. In. Oh no, baby, I'm just going to the nail shop. What, looking like that? What you gotta be looking like that for, though? You know, those kinds of things. Men have insecurities. Period.
I'm
gonna let you know, y'all the most emotional beings on this earth. You hear me? Y'all the most emotional beings on this earth. Come on now.
We are. Hey, I'm 32, and I can tell you, I'm being real. I know men emotional just as much as women are, though. Because when you sit back and think about it, men want emotional connection. But the thing is, though, if they never really worked on it or they've been wounded as an early child and have to grow up, though, anytime they feel emotional, that's when they get angry and start getting triggered and start doing all kind of stuff, though, you know what I'm saying, because they can't accept love, you know what I mean? So they want an emotional connection. There's no doubt about it. It might not be looked the same way as femininity is, but it's still an emotional connection where they can be, they can relax, they can see how they feel, you know? If they give them their real side, though, they're not going to feel like that female is going to, that's the insecurity part. That's the insecurity part, that they think the female is going to use that against them.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I think that it also comes with the men showing their real self, but women not receiving that with that masculine energy, because now you're showing your real self, but you got this masculine energy, and women like, if you don't calm the hell down talking to me, though, because I can listen to everything you got to say, but you don't have to be saying it at that volume. You need to go up there and breathe for a few minutes and then come talk to me, because the way you're giving me this message is making me triggered now. And I need you to come here now. My feminine energy is like, babe, what's your problem? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. Do you need a glass of water?
Mm-hmm.
Did you need to cool hell down? Okay? Those kind of things go in women's minds.
Or you can turn it around, Miss Chamber, and say, do I need to grease down and put my gym shoes on?
Please believe me, I will get to it in a pair of socks, a pair of flip-flops, a pair of nothing. I could be in my birthday suit. It could just go down any minute, any second. Anything that happened might not be right. So I ain't no advocate for domestic violence or intimate partner violence, but I'm saying I do have a right to protect myself in any situation that may jump off when it jumps off. And that's me being hypervigilant, because I have not felt protected. So I just got to let you know. I'm guarded.
Yeah, but
on a serious note, on a more serious note, we really have to look at that when we're working with each other in a relationship. So, in closing, femininity is something. Absolutely, absolutely. But is femininity innate? Is it taught? Is it observed? Because like the gentleman said, with all of this sexuality, this imagery, we got children that are now watching this imagery. And so now they feel they need to measure up in some way to be these Cardi B's, to be these Meg Thee Stallions, to be these Nicki Minaj's, to be any woman they see on TV as they recognize as an idol. And these kids are recognizing as well that sex sells. And so they're being sold femininity through the MAC commercials, through the Ulta commercials, through Sephora commercials, through the YouTube ads, through the Fashion Nova. All of this is influenced.
That's real.
Thank you for that commentary, and thank you for this conversation. I really appreciate it for the second time around.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you for listening.
I enjoy you participating. You always have such great insight.
I think it's a good conversation. I think for me, I mean, in closing, I would say that I love that LaWanna started snapping it towards the end, because maybe we need to start seeing a different definition of femininity, you know what I'm saying? So, and I think femininity is how everybody defines themselves to a certain degree. But I think sometimes, though, we need to look at the full range of femininity instead of always looking at it from the softness, you know what I'm saying, though? Because, you know, sometimes when you look at the authority, sometimes a woman can be authoritative, though, and still be feminine with it, you know what I mean? So we got to know how to find a balance, because I think too much over masculine can be a problem. Too much over feminine can be a problem. You know what I'm saying, though? So that's why either or is not going to work for the individual or whoever they relate to anyway. So I think the closing for me is just make sure that, you know, I hope that women can find ways to find a complete wholeness of their feminine power instead of always feeling the receptive end sometimes, though, instead of honoring themselves, you know, all at the same time.
Well, I think you all have some great insight on this discussion. And I guess for me, after thinking about it all, I think it's more about the polarity of the situation and recognizing that there will be people who have masculine energy and there will be men who have more feminine energy. And I think it's just wise to find someone who balances out the energy that you bring, because some men can't make decisions, I'm thinking, and don't. Like I said, think about a lot of the things that women do think about. And so that's a complementary relationship. And so you want to find someone that is a yin to your yang. I think that is what happens, because those women who have been scorned probably would do better with finding someone who has a lot more feminine energy, which would help to balance them out and tone them down in ways. Put a woman who is a leader with another masculine person who is a leader. Trust me, y'all gonna struggle all day long. It ain't gonna be no peace in that house. I got to let you know that. Unless one of y'all recognizes that and are willing to compromise. That's where we are. We gotta recognize that.
That's what's up. Hey, great discussion. I love
it. Thank you for listening to Black Sister Talk.
Thank you.
don't we have to look at me?